Well, it's a delight this morning to have Mervyn Carter with us, who's one of the speakers over the course of the convention weekend. And Mervyn's going to bring us God's word now. Thanks, Mervyn.
Well, may I just say it's lovely to be here with you this morning and to be able to share and the service together. It's many, many years since I was here last. As a young child, I used to come to the convention here in Cork. Believe it or not, I was a young child once. Have grown up and grown out a wee bit since then. But I have precious memories even of coming on a Sunday morning, even to the fellowship here. But it must be about 25 years since I've been here last. So it's lovely to be here with you. It's lovely to see familiar faces this morning. And it's lovely to be able to share with you. So I do want to thank you for the opportunity just to come and to minister the word this morning. We've been blessed already as we have been challenged through the word. And if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me this morning to Nehemiah chapter 3. And if you have your church Bible, it's found on page 752. So 752 on the church Bible. I'm actually reading from the Authorized version this morning. We're looking at the gates here in the book of Nehemiah. There's quite a big number of names in the first few verses we're going to read together. So I'll have to apologize earlier for my pronunciation. You can come to me afterwards and tell me how to pronounce them right. I won't have a problem with that. But I'll stumble over them. It's really the gates I want to look at this morning. There are 10 gates here in this portion. I want to look at the first three. There is the call to come to Christ. And then there is the call to live the Christian life. Like what we've been looking at already this morning. Just following on from that theme. So Nehemiah chapter 3 and verse 1 together. Then Eliashib the high priest rose up with his brethren the priests. And they builded the sheep gate. They sanctified it and set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Mea. They sanctified unto the tower of Hananiah. And next unto him builded the men of Jericho. And next to them builded Zachar, the son of Imri. But the fish gate did the sons of Anasah build, who also laid the beams thereof and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. Next unto them repaired Meremoth, the son of Urijah, the son of Koz. Next unto them repaired Mesullam, the son of Berechiah, the son of Mezarabeel. And next unto them repaired Zadok, the son of Bana. Next unto them the Tekoites repaired. But their nobles put not their necks to the work of their lord. Moreover, the old gate repaired Jeradiah, the son of Passiah, and Mesullam, the son of Besodiah. They laid the beams thereof, set up the doors thereof, and the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. Next unto them repaired Melatiah the Gibeonite, and Jadon the Meronothite, and the men of Gibeon and of Mizpah, unto the throne of the governor on this side the river. Next unto him repaired Uzziel, the son of Harariah, of the goldsmiths. Next unto him also repaired Hananiah, the son of one of the apothecaries. And they fortified Jerusalem unto the broad wall. Next unto them repaired Rephidiah, the son of Hur, the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem. Next unto them repaired Jediah, the son of Harumaph, even over against his house. And next unto him repaired Hattush, the son of Hasbaniah, Malchijah, the son of Harim, Hashub, the son of Pahathmoab, repaired the other piece and the towers of the furnaces. Next unto him repaired Shalom, the son of Heloesh, the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem, he and his daughters. And we'll finish reading there at the end of verse 12 together. It's a day's work to get through that, isn't it? Before we even start to look at God's word. But it's just to see this morning, folks, that there are so many people involved in the building up of the walls of Jerusalem. This was Nehemiah's vision here. And the vision Nehemiah gave to God, or the vision God gave to Nehemiah, was to go and start building. The scripture says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And the day and age we're living in, we need to have a vision for the work of God. And whether it's here in Bandon or around this area, whether it's in Donegal, where I've been ministering for 19 years, we need vision. We need vision for the Lord's work. And Nehemiah had vision, and Nehemiah brought the people with them. There was a unitedness here to do a work for God. And I think the important thing for us all and the challenge to us all is that we need a unitedness in wanting and longing and desiring to do a work for the Lord. And we work together. That lovely little portion says, where the brethren dwell together in unity, there the Lord commands a blessing. What do we not need more today than unity amongst the children of God to go forward and to be able to do a work for the Lord? As I said earlier, there are actually 10 gates throughout this portion of Scripture. And what you'll find when you read through a portion, you'll see the main emphasis here is actually the building of the walls. But then you will see the 10 gates intermingled. Everybody was involved in the building of the walls. They were involved in the building of the gates. But they all had their own little bit to do. And I think that's a tremendous challenge. You see, if everybody built up three quarters, it would be no good, sure it wouldn't. Because there would be a big part missing. But when everybody works together, when everybody finishes the work that they're involved in, God accomplishes great things. So there was nothing left. Every single person did their work. And the Lord wonderfully blessed. Now, I'm keeping an eye on this watch, folks, and I'm not going to go over time this morning, God willing, anywhere. You can shout at me if I do. But I want to look at three gates. The first little thought this morning is the call to salvation, the sheep gate. And we're following on for what your own pastor has been saying this morning. The call to salvation is the most important call for each and every one of us. It says here in verses 1 and 2, then Eliashib the high priest rose up with his brethren the priests, and they builded the sheep gate. They sanctified, set up the doors thereof, even unto the tower of Mia. They sanctified it unto the tower of Hananiel. And next unto him builded the men of Jericho. Next to them builded Zachary, the son of Imri. They were involved in the building of the sheep gate. If you go to the end of this chapter, you will see the sheep gate is mentioned twice. It's the only gate that is mentioned twice. But it's the most important gate. Through this gate, the sheep were taken for sacrifice. You'll notice here that the priests were involved in the building of this gate. And what it is it's a challenge to every pastor, isn't it? It's a challenge to myself this morning to be faithfully preaching the Word of God. The most important part of the Word of God is to preach the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. And that's the tremendous call this morning, the call to salvation. You see, the sheep gate, the sheep came through for sacrifice. It was the gate that was built first. You see, in the Old Testament, when we look at the sacrificial sacrifice, the animals came to be sacrificed for the sins of the people. There was the sheep, there was the bullocks, there was the doves, but the priest's work was never finished. Every animal came through that gate, and only through that gate, and there it was sacrificed. But folks, that's only the beginning. That's the Old Testament. When we go into the New Testament, we see that Christ once suffered for sins. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. You see, in Isaiah 53, it says, he was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. What did John say when he saw the Lord Jesus? He said, behold the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the whole world. You see, this morning I want to ask you very reverently, have you come through the sheep gate? Have you applied the precious blood to your heart and to your life? You see, the scripture says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sins. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ this morning went the whole way to the cross. We heard this morning already his tremendous love for you and me. I remember somebody preaching one time and they said, how much the Lord loves you. He says, the Lord did this, and he said this much when he went to the cross. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's what Christ did. He laid down his life. He shed his precious blood so that you and I can be saved. That's why in the Gospels it says, Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. You know, it's an old-fashioned word, isn't it? The word to be saved. But it's a tremendous word. Tremendous word. Folks, I wonder this morning, are you saved? You see, we're saved from danger. We're saved from a lost eternity. We're saved from being out of the presence of Christ forever and ever. And we're saved unto eternal life. We're saved to a life in heaven with God forever. You see, folks, that's the call to salvation this morning. I trust you have come through the gate. I trust you have been justified by faith in Christ alone for salvation. That's why Christ said this is the only door. You see, the sheep could only come through this door. They didn't go through any other door. There are many people who have said to me in the past, that they've said to me, you know, Pastor, I'm sure that there's many ways to get to heaven. You know, folks, may I say it this morning, there's not. There's only one way to get to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes unto the Father except by me. It's all in the finished work of the cross of Calvary. That's why we have to go through the sheep gate. That's the call to salvation. You know, this morning, may I ask you, are you saved? May I ask you, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior? I remember as a boy of 8 years of age, I prayed a simple little prayer. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, take my sin away. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And you know, when I stood to my feet, I knew even as a boy of 8 that I was saved. The Lord had saved me. I knew that if anything happened to me that night, I knew exactly where I was going. The call to salvation. The second gate we have here, folks, is the call to service. You notice in verse 3 it says, but the fish gate did the sons of Manasseh build, who also laid the beams thereof and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, the bars thereof. And it says, and next unto them repaired Meremoth the son of Urijah the son of Koz, next unto them repaired Masalim the son of Berechiah the son of Mezabazeel, and next unto them repaired Zadok the son of Bana. Next unto them the Tekoites repaired. But their nobles put not their necks to the work of the Lord. You see, when we think of the fish gate, it's very simple here, folks. It was where they brought the fish through. Now, you didn't need to look up too many commentaries to find that out. It's very simple. You see, one of the biggest dietary things they had was fish. So they went fishing, and the fish had to come through this gate. Why, I don't know. But the fish, that's why it was called the fish gate, because they brought back the fish through this very gate. But when I was thinking of this gate, the first thing came to my mind was there in Matthew 4, when the Lord Jesus Christ was saw them casting out the nets. And he said to them, he said to the disciples, he said, follow me. And he said, I will make you fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men. What did they do? It says they immediately dropped everything. Straight away, they left everything and they followed him. And I wonder, folks, is that your desire as a Christian this morning? To be involved in the Lord's work and to fish for men. You see, the greatest business for anyone to be involved in is the salvation of souls. In verse 3, you'll see there that the sons of Manasseh were concerned about this gate. They had a concern. They had a worry. They wanted to see this gate built. They wanted to be involved in the Lord's work. They wanted to be doing something for the Lord. Wonder, folks, do we have a concern for the Lord's work this morning? Do we have a concern to be doing? Do we have a concern to be involved in doing something for the Lord today? I remember a number of years ago, I took a service for a man who had passed away. And I spoke a little bit about his life. And I spoke a little bit just about his salvation. He was a man who had been saved for about 50 years. As a man of 20 or 25, he trusted the Lord. Very, very quiet man. Would have come to church from time to time, not regular. And I remember taking his funeral service. And I remember one particular man coming up to me at the end of the funeral service. And this is what he said. He says, Mervyn, he says, I never knew that man was a Christian. I never knew that man was a Christian. May I ask you this morning, reverently, as I've asked my own people in Rifo, do people know that you are a Christian? You see, I don't believe there's any such thing as a silent believer. I love the Lord. And folks, any opportunity I get, I'm happy to tell people about the Lord. And even if I don't get an opportunity, I take it anyway, whether I get it or not. But I love to tell people about the Lord. You see, what's the Christian life? It's an overflowing, isn't it, of what's within. You see, what's inside has to come out. You know a little child when you say something, when they're going, you can nearly think what they're going to say, and you're praying they don't say it. It's in there and it's going to come out. And you're kind of saying, oh, boys, don't say that, whatever you do. You know it's there. But like for the Christian, that should be the way. It should be coming out. It should be bursting forth. That's the call to service. The reason I read verse 5, folks, and this is the sad thing. In verse 5 it says, the Tekoites began to build the wall next to the fish gate. But it's recorded here by the Holy Spirit. It says, their nobles put not their necks to the work of God. Folks, that's recorded. Their nobles didn't want to get involved. They sat back in the luxury and in everything else. And they didn't get involved. You see, there are some who do. And then there are others who allow them to do. I wonder this morning, which category are you in? I think one of the saddest verses in Scripture is in Psalm 42 and verse 4. And it says this, no man cared for my soul. Wonder this morning, do you care for precious souls? You see, the Lord, when you stand before him one day there in Matthew 25, I think it's verse 23, it says, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. But let me say this morning, God will never say well done unless you have done well. I remember doing a sermon one time on Caleb. You don't read much about Caleb in the Scriptures, but look it up and read a little bit about it. And he asked to go in, and he asked to conquer the land after they went in. He said, go up. He said, give me the hill country. Give me the hardest country. And I looked up and I looked. Do you know what age he was? He was 85 or 86 years of age. Isn't that a tremendous thing? 85 or 86 years of age. And he's saying, listen, give me the hardest country. Give me the hardest hills. I want to do it for the Lord. You see, that's the call to service. Doesn't matter what age we are, there's a great work that we can do. So we move on quickly, folks. There is the call to sovereignty. The call to sovereignty here is the old gate, you'll see there in verse 6. Moreover, the old gate repaired Jehadiah, the son of Passis, Mashalom, the son of Besadiah, and they laid the beams thereof, set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. The old gate speaks of the old way or the old paths. You see, when they built a new wall, they built a new city, what they did was they built new roads. And I must admit, since I have come to Cork here, it's probably 15 years ago since I was here last, boys, there are some new roads, aren't there? That's great. I remember going all the back roads down through Mitchellstown and all the way, and it took us hours. I came down the motorway and I nearly fell asleep on the way down. I was here in a couple of hours. It was great. You know, the new roads. But this is talking about the old road, or it's talking about the old path. This is the call to sovereignty. And the old gate would be the idea coming from the old part and the old situation. And there in Jeremiah 6 and 16 it says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, ask for the old paths. Where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." What does this really mean? You know, very quickly this morning, it means subjection to the will of God for your life. I remember singing a little chorus at a CEF camp, and it just was this: God has a plan for my life. And those young ones were singing it, and I thought that was the greatest thing that they could teach any young person, any child, to grow up realizing that God has a plan for my life. You know, folks, when I was at home on the farm, causing as much trouble as I could, and getting into as much devilment, because there's many here who know me, you know, I never realized I'd be a pastor in the church. I remember somebody coming recently who was a missionary for many years, Yvonne Brown, some of you might have known her, and she looked at me and she said to me, "Mervyn, you're a pastor. How on earth did that ever happen?" And I could understand, because she knew me, she had seen all I got up to. But you know, God has a plan, doesn't he? He's a plan to prosper, as we heard this morning. He's a plan to lead us forward. And to be sovereign, saying, "Lord, listen, whatever your plan is for my life, I'm just going to be in the center of it. And I'm happy to be in the center of your plan for my life." Romans 12 says this: "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, and this is your reasonable service." I wonder this morning, are you prepared to lay your all on the altar for God? It's not an easy thing to do. You know, all I ever wanted to do in my life was farm. That's all I ever wanted to do. I love farming. I was part of the land. My problem when I'm driving, folks, I spend more time looking across the ditch than I do on the road. But that's the reality. I loved it. But God called me out. And God said, "Listen, I have a plan for you." And God's plans are always far better than our plans. And we need to be in the center. Folks, I want to finish by just looking at four little things here very quickly. Verse 8, we'll read through this, and it says, "Next unto them repaired Uzziel, the son of Harihiah of the goldsmiths." Folks, there were willing workers. If you go down here, there was goldsmiths. Next down, it says, "Next unto him also repaired Hananiah, the son of one of the apothecaries. They fortified Jerusalem unto the broad wall." Can I say, folks, if I was going to build a wall, I wouldn't want goldsmiths, or I wouldn't want apothecaries. Now, their hands would be as soft as mine are now. That would be the reality. If you were going to build a wall, who would you get? You'd get a builder, wouldn't you? And you'd say, "Boys, that's the greatest thing." But what I want to leave with you, these boys, they were willing to do it. They were willing to do it. You know, it wasn't that they were maybe the most capable, but they were willing. And sometimes it's not the most capable when you want to do something for the Lord. It's the most willing. Those who are prepared to say, "Listen, I'm willing to do anything for the Lord. It doesn't matter." They were willing workers. I wonder this morning, are you a willing worker? Verse 7, go back, and it says here, "And next unto him repaired Melatiah the Gibeonite, and Jadon the Meronothite, the men of Gibeon and of Mizpah, unto the throne of the governor, unto this side of the river." The idea here is the Gibeonites were ones who had deceived Joshua into making a treaty. They had put on old clothes, they put on old sandals, they had said they had come from a big distance. So in other words, they were deceivers, they were supplanters. But now look at them. What I want to make here, they were changed workers. See, the hymn writer says, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. You know, folks, are you a changed worker? Christ has changed you. And now he's willing for you to do something. The next one I want to look at is verse 9. It says this. Next unto them repaired Raphael the son of Hur, the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem. They were wealthy workers. You know, there were wealthy workers here. They owned half of Jerusalem. You know, folks, I remember somebody coming to me one day. And they said about doing something. And I said to them, well, you know, could you not do that yourself? And they turned to me and they said, well, that's what we pay you for. And I thought, well, fair enough, that's okay. That's great. But I thought, you know, it's an attitude, isn't it? It's an attitude. That's what we pay you for as the pastor. You see, this man was a wealthy man. He could have paid a drove of people to do it. But it didn't matter what wealth he had. He said, listen, I want to be involved in the Lord's work. So we have willing workers, we have changed workers, we have wealthy workers. And go down to verse 12, and with this I finished. It says, Malchijah the son of Harim and Hashbub the son of Pathamoav repaired the other piece of the Tower of the Furnace. And verse 12 goes on to say, next unto him repaired Shalom the son of Haloish, the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem, he and his daughters. There were family workers. You know, there's no greater thrill for me. I have asked the Lord to take my 2 years and call them into his work. I remember when I went home to tell my mother and father, my father wanted me to farm. Well, maybe he was glad to see me go, I'm not fully sure. But you know, I remember when I went home and told him, he said to me, Mervyn, there's no greater work than you can be involved in than the Lord's work. There's no greater thing in church life, in the Lord's work, than to see families coming in together. I was at the prayer meeting recently, the Faith Mission Prayer Union I go to as well during the week. And I went up to it and, you know, the folks were encouraged. Because they said when they were at the church on the Sunday night, they said they saw husband and wife and they saw the young families coming out together, even at night. It's a tremendous encouragement. Start off by bringing out the families. Start off by working together. Continue to work together. And God will do a work in you. And God will do a work through you.